Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so 902 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Apparently Deshaun Watson was pining for Eric Bieniemy the other day in the press conference. He was excited about Eric Bieniemy. Tim Kelly probably wasn't all that excited about that, but okay. Deshaun's doing a pretty good job with Ken. They're coming along nicely. We'll see what kind of plan Tim Kelly comes up. But there is a list of 5 guys hot in Houston. Sports Illustrated, Texans Daily has Texans' top 5 coaching candidates. Eric Bieniemy, number 1. Pretty well known. I mean, I know the story. And out of the, obviously, out of the Chiefs. Do you worry? Now, Nagy came from there, right? Sean McDermott came from there.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson. I heard Josh the other day talking about Doug Peterson as a candidate. Did Doug Peterson all of a sudden get stupid, or is Doug Peterson? I mean, he made a lot of sense in the Doug Peterson, pining for Doug Peterson, in that, you know, that I think Philadelphia is more about Howie Roseman. The reason that they're, but there is, whether or not you're developing guys, too. I mean, that's certainly a point.
I mean, he was good with Frank Reich, and when Frank Reich wasn't there, Carson's not that good anymore. I haven't seen Doug Peterson has been so wildly unimpressive over the last 2 years that it's a little bit disconcerting. I think he's got a chance of losing his job this year. I just don't think there's any question about it.
Will Doug Peterson get scooped up right away?
I think he has to be in the mix for all the jobs that's opening, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Super Bowl winning head coach, I don't know. You know, Dan Quinn got there. Dan Quinn should have won a Super Bowl. I don't know if anyone's scooping Dan Quinn up. And Dan Quinn hasn't been all that, like the Eagles, the Eagles haven't really been better than the Falcons over the last couple of years.
No.
And yet, you know, Doug won it, Dan lost it, and so Dan Quinn doesn't get, now, that was a year before the Eagles even won it. That's been a long run of Atlanta falling short of expectations. It was time for him to go. But what I'm saying is, I think there's a decent chance that Peterson will be out there. And you would think, right, Atlanta's going to be open. The Texans are open. Jaguars will be open. Detroit's open. Who else am I forgetting right now?
The Jets.
The Jets will be open.
The Bears.
Chargers could be open. Cowboys could be open. Bears could be open. They could end up having 8. I don't think it's crazy that I think you will have at least 6 jobs open, and you could have as many as 8. Think about that turnover. That's a quarter of the league turning over at head coach.
Yep. Well, and it's not unusual. I mean, this happens all the time.
Somebody asked me about the Texans and Joe Brady. I just think that Joe needs more experience.
Well, he's on this list.
Yeah, Joe needs more experience. I think it's best for Joe to learn more about NFL, learn more about managing players, yeah. And because you have to be a leader of men, which is underrated. That can be a tough thing, especially when you're a younger coach. A lot of the guys, you know, could try to push you around. So, learning under Matt Rule and then waiting
did
for
they
your
push McVay around. Did they push LaFleur around? I mean, they've had success, really.
But they were in the NFL longer.
Well, Joe Brady was in the NFL, went to college for a year, and then his
Joe hasn't been in this position as offense coordinator. He's been there 1 year.
Yeah.
This is his first year.
I'd hate to not take him, though, and then he becomes a great coach, and but you're worried about...
I know, but the thing is, he would also be better served making sure it's the right spot for him. He's young. Yeah. He doesn't have to rush into anything.
Well, who's Deshaun, having Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, the right spot for you?
This isn't the right spot for most people. You don't have, you don't, you got bad wide receivers. Look, Eric Bieniemy, from what I've been told, Houston's not at the top of his list. It's down his list.
Yeah, well.
He's like, I mean, you can like Deshaun Watson all you want. What is your, how long is your left tackle up? How long is Deshaun up? We're gonna, are we going to be capped out again in 4 years? Yes. You won't have any cap room in 4 years. These are all real things that, that real general managers and head coaches consider. Who are our wide receivers? So we don't have wiggle room at all. What is our, all right, what does our defense look like? So we got to rebuild the secondary and the pass rush.
Who's our running backs?
Yeah, we don't have a run game. We don't have a secondary. We don't have a, we don't have a pass rush. Who are the linebackers? Oh.
None of those things.
What are they ranked in run defense? 32? What about like third down conversion? 26? Again, in third down conversion against? So do they have good, like, are there a bunch of hurt players that are good? A bunch, do they have opt-outs and guys who are on the on the injured list who are
they IR? Opted out?
Did they
Texans
IR?
Are opting out?
Did the Texans opt out before? Because remember there were COVID opt-outs before the season for the NFL? We can't forget that.
New England.
So did they opt out a bunch of players or have a bunch of guys on IR? No, it's pretty much, no, all their best guys are here. They're all out there. Our team's on the field, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Like Norman Dale would not have coached the Texans. He'd have been like, this is just, I know I got Jimmy, I know I got Deshaun Chitwood, but the rest of these guys, we can't win with these guys. We got a bunch of Ollies.
Where is,
we got a bunch of Ollies running around here.
Where is Cardinal Daniel DiNardo and the list of potential head coaches? He's not on the Texans list of head coaches. He's a Cardinal.
He's a Jack Easterby is not going to put and DiNardo's too old.
Yeah.
He's too old.
Robert Saleh.
Actually, he's not too old to be on the list.
No, not with Romeo Crennel.
Not with
Crennel.
The Texans, yeah.
Robert Saleh is
like
on the
him.
List.
I like him.
Matt Eberflus. Can't have him because I can't pronounce his name.
You just did. You did a great job.
Is that
job.
It? Is
yeah,
his it's name Eberflus.
Eberflus? Yeah.
Never heard of him. He's the defensive coordinator for the Colts. Big toe guy. Brian Daboll. Okay. He's done some nice things.
Daboll wants the job and is... has the same agent as Mr. Easterby.
Ooh, there's something. There it is. Case closed. This case is dismissed.
Yep.
It's Daboll. That's gonna happen. Jack Easterby's got the same agent. Done. That's it.
Has a really good chance.
Yep. What type of coach best fits Texans? Offensive or defensive minded coach?
Well, everyone's going to say offensive-minded. You just need the right coordinator.
Usually, since you had an offensive-minded kind of coach, usually you'll go defensive-minded next. That's what you usually do.
Yeah, but I think the thought is everyone thinks it has to be offensive coach because of Deshaun. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as your offense coordinator can be your offensive head coach. Defensive coaches a lot of times are going to be more strict. They're going to be this kind of a little bit generalizing, but they tend to be strict. They tend to hold people accountable. They want to build an aggressive, you know, they tend to be more aggressive. They want an aggressive physical front. Like, I honestly just want the best prospect. I don't care. Whoever the best coaching prospect is, that's who I want, the best potential coach.
I am the best CEO.
I am not ruling out. Yeah, I would not rule out a defensive coach. No. Why? For what? Because you have Deshaun? I'm sorry, do you not have offensive coaches? Are there not offensive coordinators?
No.
And maybe Tim Kelly does stick around, and he knows Deshaun Watson. You know, maybe that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
No, that absolutely could be the case. That would be fun. How about some continuity? And we'll find out how good Tim Kelly is now without Will Fuller, without Randall Cobb, without Kenny Stills, without any receivers. We'll find out how good Tim Kelly is. Getting the ball to different guys that probably aren't going to be open too much. Probably aren't going to be out running people. But other than that, we may be small, but we're slow. So that's the outlook for Sunday's. I'm going to give those 3.5 points with the Colts, I think.
Every time you talk through, have you noticed every time you talk through a Texans game, it's like, but they have been covering lately.
Yeah, they have been.
The Texans.
Yeah.
But every time you talk through a Texans game, it's like, wait a minute. Why do I like the Texans in this spot?
I forget.
But last week they crushed them.
Oh, they crushed the
Patriots.
They crushed. They crushed the Patriots and they crushed the Lions.
Yeah.
I mean, that was easy.
Last week, and then, yeah, and the Lions was a walk in the park.
Yeah. No, so that was easy,
man. It is a big week. There are five teams at 4-7. A win here could separate the Texans from the pack. I'm not looking for a win here.
You're not looking? No.
No. I mean, there's a group of teams at 4-7. A win could push the Texans all the way down to the 13th pick.
Yeah. No, you don't need none of that. No,
I'm looking. Hey, Colts, show up.
You don't need none of that.
Hey, I don't really care so much about the Colts being a wild card factor as far as the Dolphins are concerned. Colts, I need you to show up and win.
You would rather the Colts overtake the Dolphins in the playoff race.
Well, the Dolphins are playing the Bengals, so if they lose that, maybe they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. So I don't want to chalk it up as a win, but Ryan Finley's playing, so I feel pretty good.
Oh,
Finley
no.
ball is not great.
No.
The Colts, hey, show up here.
Yeah, but doesn't a win over them push the Texans back too?
The Texans are in the middle of a glow-up, son.
I'm not looking for
glow-up.
They're
in the middle of a glow-up, the Texans are. So I don't know what to tell you now, Dell. Your picks get worse and worse and worse.
I mean, a top 15 pick is still pretty good, but still. I was really looking at top 6-7 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And things have changed.
I know.
It hurts a little bit.
This is disastrous for you.
It really is, John.
Well, now, though, I mean, look. I mean, how much did Roby and Fuller help you?
That's what we're going to find out, aren't we?
Yep. No. I think you're going to be.
Maybe Deshaun should opt out.
I think you're going to feel good about yourself again.
I'm going to need Deshaun to opt out.
You want Deshaun
Can
to
that
opt
happen?
Out?
Yeah.
Man. Boy, you just are greedy.
Yes.
You want the you
Give
want them
all.
To be the number two pick.
Well, it's too late for that, but.
Well, if the Jags go on a run.
Unlikely.
The Jags go on a winning Jag.
But the Eagles are 3-7-1, so maybe get in the top five, possibly. But
Deshaun, not if they win the division.
Talking about the Texans getting in the top five, so they're not winning the division. But the Eagles, that's the problem. We talked about this before. Washington, the Giants are 4-7 and have the 19th pick overall because they're the division leader.
Yeah. Yep.
That would suck.
913 ESPN 97.5 playing Beat the Limo Guy. Oh, in about 17 minutes, we're going to be Quincy Avery is going to be here. Then at the top of the hour, Justin's going to be here playing Beat the Limo Guy. Do we want to do Throw Shade Thursday on Friday at the bottom at 10:30?
It's up to the people. They have to show us that
people,
they want it.
I mean, show of hands on Twitch and on Twitter. Do we need to play Throw Shade Thursday? Because it's Friday, it's how can we do it?
What do they call? What is their Friday segment on the Blitz? Do they have no?
No, that's the just they have a giant bar.
Oh yeah, the press box has a Friday segment. I don't know. F Your Life Friday. I don't know what do you want to call
F-U
it.
Friday.
F You Friday.
F You Friday.
Yeah, that's what the press box calls their segment. We're stealing that from them.
Oh, the press box does. They have an F You Friday.
I think so. I'm on that show all the time.
That doesn't sound
now.
Like something Charlie
You're
would say.
On their
say.
Friday show.
I don't remember.
That doesn't sound like something Charlie would say if I'm being honest.
Well, Charlie's never there on
Oh,
Fridays.
We got a Coors Light Twitch break.
Wait, is Charlie here today?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm aware because it affects me directly. I know he's not here.
It affects
he's
me
He's not
directly.
Here today?
No, he's not.
He was out yesterday out at the golf course.
Well, it's not Friday, though. If it was Friday, he probably would have been there.
No. Well, here's the deal. Is McGrath Pest Control. That's my peeps over there. Scott McGrath is awesome, awesome, awesome. If you're looking for, I mean, this dude, I'm using him. We're using him at home because we're back in the house now. And the one of the first guys I called, well, actually, he was the first guy that I called because I had to make sure that I didn't have any termite, that the house didn't have any termites. And he does the termite inspection for your home. So if you're somebody that is in the market for a home and you're looking for a termite inspector, Scott McGrath does that, and he does it at a great price. I mean, it was simple. He came. He did it in a hurry. They jump on it right away, and you'll probably get Scott McGrath doing it because he's an expert in this. But if you got mosquitoes or ants or roaches or fleas or bed bugs or spiders or, man, that's gross. If you got rodents, I mean, what? I've called them before because we had possums by the house. I mean, the whole family. And Scott McGrath came out and he got rid of them for us. And that's what he do every single day. He's got the mosquito murdering system. I mean, you don't really need it right now because of how cold it is, but you will need it. You will need it. It's a great time to put it in so that when the mosquito season is here, you got that all covered. It's McGrath Pest Control. I'm telling you, you're going to love the guys. They're so professional, and they come and do the job every single time. 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
19 here on The Bench, Lance Zierlein, John Granato, and Dale Olele. We are going to have Quincy Avery joining us here at the bottom of the hour. He is the personal quarterback coach for Deshaun Watson and many other quarterbacks, so we will talk to him about the state of the game, the state of the position, and, of course, the state of Deshaun Watson, who is a good player. We had the thank you to everyone who took part in the golf tournament yesterday. It was a big success. Raised awesome. Money for ProVision. Everyone did a fantastic job. Cobos Q was great with the food. Burritos was out there doing it big for lunch. And St. Arnold and Coors Light and just everybody who was a big part of that. We certainly appreciate all your support and to all the people who came out and played, spent money to come play. We certainly appreciate it. Did you so playing golf with Jeff Van Gundy, was that
it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughs. He's self-deprecating. He was starting to get pissed off a little bit because he can hit the ball better than he did yesterday.
Can't,
he
hit some shots. Tell?
Yeah. Okay. He hit some shots that was like, Coach, nice job.
I thought he would be fourth, but he's like, no, Mark Jackson is way behind.
Good, right. He said he was playing with Mark Jackson. Last time he was playing with Mark Jackson, one of the things about coaches is that his buddy picks the club for coach. He says, here, you need a 7-iron here or whatever. And coach said, the last time he was playing with Mark Jackson, he was picking Jackson's clubs. So he was telling Jackson what to hit on different holes. So he said, yeah, I'm better than Mark Jackson. Now, coach had a rough day yesterday, but you could tell. I mean, he hit a few shots. We're like, wow, that ball jumped off. It was nice. Uh-huh. He hit him nice. So.
How was the swing?
His swing's good.
It's not a bad
swing? His grip is awful.
It is?
Awful. And that's right where it starts, and that's why I didn't want to say anything to him, but he holds it. His hands are separated. And I'm like...
Like you might baseball. Putt?
Like a baseball bat, only you know
even
the guys
putt
who
like
hold
that,
their
but
bats
I've seen
and
it.
And there's some separation in between their hands.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm like, that's not how you do it. But anyway,
you should have told
that. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to.
You can't mess.
No,
with...
No, right? Not during a round. You don't do that.
Yeah.
If he got a lesson, his swing.
There's no question. Somebody has told him, like, coach. I know somebody told me. I can't do it that way. I've tried it, and it doesn't work. Right. It doesn't work either way, to be honest. You know, he would have said something like that.
Right, right, right. Like, coach, you don't shoot jump shots underhanded. Well, but you know, that's not how you do
hey,
it.
Listen, Rick Barry did.
No, he shot free throws that way.
Well, but, yeah.
Not jumpers.
Not jumpers.
The
yeah,
coach was trying to shoot jumpers underhanded with his golf, with his grip
swing?
Yesterday.
Yeah,
with no, his swing is fine. It's a grip. I mean, and that's the, you know, you got to.
Kind of important.
Kind of a deep, big deal, yeah.
You don't see people with baseball. Only kids in Little League will have the separation on their bats, the hand separation.
I remember some big leaguers used to have separated their hands a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it
yeah.
makes it harder to,
and like,
to roll your wrist.
Ernie Banks used to, and he would have his, and he would twiddle his hands and. And he was pretty good.
I remember I had a friend of mine who was like, I know people and some big leaguers who hang their pinky yeah. finger off the knob.
Yeah.
Who put it on the knob.
Oh, yeah.
That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, no.
And my buddy Mike will do it, but the big leaguers still do that where some of them will have, you know, have it on the knob. I'm thinking that, why would you do that? How does that, doesn't that feel uncomfortable?
That's apparently strange. Not. You get to the big leagues, you're pretty good, I think. And you're still doing it, or you're doing it now. So you're pretty good. You do it pretty good.
Yep.
713-7803. So it was a great time had by all. Thanks to all the sponsors and all everybody who came out, and we raised money for ProVision. We're going to send checks to ProVision, which will be great. So, and Coach especially, he put up a couple thousand dollars. So that was really neat. And everybody who did their parts out there, a lot of fun yesterday, and we'll do it again. We don't know when. It's the occasional golf tournament. We don't know when we'll do it again.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the thing. You just don't know when it's going to happen.
It could pop up tomorrow. We don't know. Apparently, is this a big deal, Dan Le Batard leaving ESPN?
For some people, it is. Mike Golic Jr. is going to take over his time spot. So I guess for some people, I think this was kind of eventually going to happen. Because there's a bunch of cuts being made. I don't know if Dan had his contract. He said he was going to pursue. It was a mutual parting, and he was going to pursue other interests. But, you know, financially, ESPN has made so many cuts. I mean, 300-plus cuts already again. And when we say ESPN, we don't mean like locally owned stations like ours that have the ESPN brand. That's not the same. We're not the same. But I don't know. I don't know if that was considered a big deal or not. He's all right. I didn't really listen to his show. It was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know.
No, we're busy.
But ESPN has really changed a lot over the last 5 years.
It's going to be Greenberg. Mike Greeny is going back to radio. Or maybe already. Does he still do a radio show?
No, I think Golic does it with the former basketball player.
Yeah, but no, congrats. She's keeping that. They're keeping their slot. 4 p.m.
Okay, Jason Barrett had where Golic Jr. was going to go.
Now, the lineup is Keyshawn, Jay Wills, we know, Zubon in the morning, and then Greeny takes over at 10.
And that was Levitard's spot?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He had the wrong mic then.
And his TV show, pardon the whatever.
Highly Questionable.
Highly Questionable.
That one's going away too.
He's just
done with ESPN, period.
Yeah.
Is Mina done? Is his dad? So his dad.
His dad.
Hey, you're not going to, and you don't want to do that, and you don't know if you want to do that.
His dad has stopped doing the show before.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Did he get cut? Has.
I think he just stopped doing it.
He did it forever, though.
Well, maybe he's like,
TV show. You know his dad.
Yeah. He sits in the middle. It's the weirdest set ever.
I don't love it.
No, I don't think it's bad, though.
I don't mind it.
He stopped doing it probably during COVID, I bet. I'm sure.
His dad's been done for a little bit.
It's actually not a bad show, if you want to know the truth.
I know it was his show, because, you know, based in Miami, so the first hour was a local Miami hour. So it was Miami-centric for at least a little bit. And Miami people liked it because it was their guy on a national stage. But I don't know how it played nationally. He did it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of differences between what they thought, what the brass thought that show and the direction should be, and what he thought. So he's like, I'm out here. Remember,
you know, he's had a couple of issues in the past with that.
Yeah, he doesn't like. I don't think, despite how liberal ESPN has gotten in some people's eyes, he's actually had issues with them not taking stands on certain things and let it be known. And then they fired the producer that he hired himself and paid his salary. So he's had some differences, and they're done.
He's paying the guy's salary, and like Dan leaves, and the guy's like, hey, are we still good here? hey, Dan, it's me, Mike, your producer that you were paying my salary once they got rid of me. Just quick question. Do you have something lined up already? Because is this deal that we were going to do, is this still a deal that
you
we're,
know?
Are you paying my salary still?
He's gonna end up with a $5 million deal with Fox or CBS Sports or something. You know that? All these guys. Lemitard's a pretty big name. He'll end up somewhere.
He probably has something else. Quincy is going to be up at 9:35. So in about 8.5 minutes, we will have him. And then, as far as Dan Lemitard is concerned, there's always Fox. There's always something like Apple TV or
I ain't going to worry about YouTube Dan TV Lemitard and his producer. I got my producer to worry about, Dell. Yeah. You got
Frankie to worry about. I got to worry about, is Drake going to get another $2,100 trip to an emergency room? Like, son, you better come out of me, off of there on a stretcher or be in serious trouble. You can't just bounce back the next day and like, yeah, I feel great today.
I'm feel bad. What about Dell? Is Dell going to get his nap in today? I got to worry about that.
Actually,
I got to worry about you on Sunday working the whole day.
It is delayed because I'm going to be here, so you should be worried.
I know, right?
I thought I got to worry about Dell and making sure he stays. You know,
no.
If he gets fired, then I'll pay.
That's no big deal.
You're not going to worry about that.
That's no big deal.
You worried about my nap though?
Yeah, your nap.
Okay.
Gotta make sure you get your nap in.
Otherwise,
you get ornery.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm the ornery one.
Yeah.
Ornery, let's go back to the start of yesterday's show.
All right. Well, how about, if you just would, you know.
Do what? Eat breakfast?
Yeah. Hey. How about we had breakfast?
Adele, you didn't. Okay. You really got over on me. You got to eat.
Breakfast. That's right. Had breakfast, and you didn't.
No, I had breakfast.
We win.
No, I went to Whataburger.
Win again.
No, I had Whataburger. I had breakfast.
Oh, well, you know what? Quincy's about to call in, so let me get to my friends over at St. Arnold, who were a big part of the tournament yesterday, providing beer for so many players. And St. Arnold is just, you know, it's one of these places that people in Houston love. It's us, right? They were the first original craft brewery here in Houston. They have continued to be Houston-centric. No sellout mentality, and their beers are phenomenal. They have right now an IPA. They have an IPA collection that you can get a variety pack at your grocery store, and it's a fantastic way to check out all the different types of flavors and IPAs that they have available during this season. How about Christmas Ale? Christmas Ale is a big seller every Christmas. That is available, and that was out there at the golf tournament yesterday. I saw one. I grabbed one on the way out. Of course, I never opened it while I was in the car, but I did open it whenever I got to the radio station. And now is your time. You can get this at your local restaurants. You can get these packs and Christmas Ale at your local grocery stores. But just remember, you can also go right to their beer garden and outside restaurant where they have an indoor facility, but then they have a huge outdoor patio. Huge. It's well-spaced. Fits a ton of people, even though it's properly spaced, and the food is fantastic. Some of the best pizzas, if not the best pizzas, you're going to find in the city of Houston, with delicious sandwiches as well, salads, and something for everyone. It's St. Arnold. Go enjoy the very best beer that you're going to find in the city of Houston, and a great time. For more information, go to the website, StArnold.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:32 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Quincy Avery going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes on ESPN 97.5. He's the president of quarterback takeover, Deshaun Watson's personal quarterback coach. He's in the greater Atlanta area, but he's all over the country now. He's got over 150 top NFL people, NFL college and high school quarterbacks, and so he knows the position. And he's done unbelievable things already. And so he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Quincy Avery, president, quarterback takeover. Quincy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you,
man? We appreciate you being here with us. Obviously, Deshaun, first and foremost here in the city of Houston, maybe you could help us out a little bit with this. Losing Fuller, losing Stills, losing Cobb. with all of these young receivers, Quincy, you think he's going to – how long is it going to take him to get on the same page with the Steven Mitchells and the Isaiah Coulters?
It's going to be interesting to see. I think that he'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly. I think Kiki's going to be stepping up, and he's been doing a good job. So they're going to figure it out real quickly. I think Deshaun's been playing as well as he's ever played, so they're in a really good spot.
It's interesting with Deshaun because you and I, you know, one of the things I really respect about you, I have to deal with people all the time who are trainers for NFL hopefuls and prospects. And you're one of those guys who I don't have to worry about you blowing smoke. You'll say what you see. I mean, because there's nothing wrong with the truth. I always believe, like, whatever the truth is, the truth is. If a quarterback needs to work with more anticipation, then you say that. And you know, one of the things you mentioned about Deshaun on our podcast when I had you on with, on Off Script was that Deshaun missed his responsibility in that Buffalo game. He turned what could have been a disaster into an incredible highlight reel play. And you talked about the fact that those things are not getting to him like they were anymore. You're starting to see those progressions in Deshaun as a guy who understands blitz pickups and getting himself protected.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about seeing somebody's maturation like this is seeing them go through the growing pains. The great part about Deshaun is, like, when he didn't have it all or hadn't had all the reps or hadn't seen everything that a defense had to offer, he was still Superman, and he could get them out of bad situations. But now it's like he knows exactly what you're going to do. He's got the answers already in his head, and he's ready to anticipate whatever you throw at him. So it's so cool to see him now dominate in the way that he's dominating. And what I mean by that is he's throwing on time with anticipation. He's making the right reads, and he's getting the stuff early. We don't see a ton of the scramble superhero plays. Like, he'll do that at the goal line when nobody's open. But in the middle of the field, 20-20, he's playing as good as anybody just from the pocket, from a mental standpoint.
Well, Quincy Avery with us here on ESPN 97.5. I'm a little worried about that without these guys now, without getting the separation early, without the speed that he had before with Fuller and Cook, with Cobb and Stills, that these guys aren't going to separate in a hurry, that we may see Deshaun having to do more of that improvisation because these guys aren't going to separate early.
You know, I understand. I could definitely see that. But I think that teams are probably going to tilt their coverage a bit to Cooks, right? So that's going to happen. But I think that that puts someone like Kiki in a situation where they can really do well. And they're going to go – I'm sure they're going to start using their tight ends in a way that allows those guys to be dominant up front. The only thing that's going to be really stressful on them, in my opinion, is just their ability to run the ball. When you can't do that,
yeah,
it gets really hard on the guys outside. So we may see Deshaun do a little bit more with his legs, but he's talented enough to do that and carry him in that way.
Do you have a feeling, you watch the tape on these games, you of course have a relationship with Deshaun, but you actually, you know, you put the time in to see what's going on. Do you see a difference in how the games are being called between what OB did and what Tim Kelly is doing right now, or is it really more about Deshaun just playing a different brand of football? What do you see as a difference right now with how the games are being called or how the execution's working?
So I see a lot more passes in early downs, and then I also see them getting their passes earlier in second and long situations, right? So they've been able to play – they're not playing from behind the sticks as much, and I think that's allowed Deshaun to be more successful. And I think that he was fine when OB was there, but I think that there was a level of – as an OC, when your head coach is an offensive guy, I think it's a little bit tougher to call a game exactly how you want it, and I think that Tim Kelly now has that freedom, and I think that he's done a really good job, right? We can say we want. Deshaun's playing great, but Tim Kelly has done a really good job in showing that he does have some real value as a play caller.
Quincy Avery with us here on ESPN 97.5. You're talking about, and it's even more amazing, Quincy, what Deshaun is doing this year with zero running game. And he's playing better than ever, and he's still, you know, winning football games lately. And it's just, to me, I don't know how you do it without any running game, and yet Deshaun is getting that job done. But it, you talk about now, it's 4 years into this thing, and he's better than ever reading defenses and reacting and everything else. It's going to take a little bit of time because, you know, the game is so much faster at the NFL level. But where was he when he came out of Clemson? Because Lance and I talked about this, is what you know, at some places and some quarterbacks, you don't want to put too much on their plate, especially when they're young. Where was he coming out of Clemson for the NFL?
I think he was pretty prepared, and he still had that special level of talent. Of course, he's not where he is today. I think that they could have put more on him early in his career. Later on in his rookie season, he was playing some really good ball, and in all of the second year, he was playing really good. Like, he didn't get a ton of time in his rookie season getting hurt so early, but he was pretty much ready to play in the NFL as soon as he got there. And I wish people would have been more aware of that and said, Deshaun, you kind of figure it out. I think that would have allowed him to be where he is now a little earlier.
How complex was Bill O'Brien versus what Tim Kelly's doing?
In terms of complexity, it's really the same offense. It's just how they're calling it, what are they getting to, and how are you reading it. And I think that they've put more of the onus on Deshaun to kind of figure out how he wants to read things, how he feels comfortable getting to things, and how he sees it.
This is something that I think is an interesting, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, because you work with a lot of different quarterbacks, and you've worked with a lot of African American quarterbacks, right? And there's always been the stigma about a running quarterback and things like that. But we see Fields is a pocket passer, Haskins pocket passer. There are dual threat quarterbacks, there are running quarterbacks, and there are pocket passers. And really, we're seeing that amongst white quarterbacks, black quarterbacks. It just depends on what the system is in college. I'm kind of curious about your thought, though, because I heard Deshaun, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago, he kind of bristled at the thought of being a dual threat quarterback. But I think you should be okay doing what it is that you do to cause the most stress to teams. Like, in other words, it doesn't mean you can't work from the pocket. It means that you are multifaceted. And I think in today's football, especially, being a multifaceted quarterback is really, it's turning into, if you're not a multifaceted quarterback, it's getting harder and harder to be consistently successful unless you have a really good offensive line in front of you in a running game.
Yeah, I think that moving forward, if you're not a mobile quarterback, you won't even get the opportunity to play the position. So we agree there. I just think there was a lot of negative connotation about the term dual threat quarterback,
right,
growing up, or as these guys came through the ranks. Like when Deshaun was in high school, when they labeled you a dual threat quarterback, that essentially meant you couldn't throw.
Right.
And I think that they still see it that way. I see it that way. Like, I still get frustrated they labeled my guy a dual threat quarterback. Right? He's a pocket passer who has all the ability in the world to run and extend plays, get first down with his legs, do what he did to the Patriots and running somebody over at the goal line. Like, he can do all that. But first and foremost, he can throw from the pocket. And I think that was more of the thing that bothered him a little bit about the term. Like, we hear dual threat, and we think that you're saying that we can't do it from the pocket.
Right.
No, like, he's,
you think
a
that's
true
still
threat.
The case, though? Because I totally agree with you about when Deshaun was in high school, but here we are, 7 years later. I feel like that term has kind of switched and changed, because the best quarterbacks in the league have the ability to extend and do all that stuff. Now, I don't know that people call Russell Wilson is dual threat, but no one ever says that. I see what you're saying. Like, no one ever calls Pat Mahomes a dual threat quarterback, but he's a play extender as well. All these guys are play extenders that are great.
Yeah, I wouldn't use a term. I would just be like, how good are you at the quarterback position, right? And I think all of that is compiled in there. Like, how good are you at quarterback? It has to do with how well you can run, how well you can extend plays. How many first downs can you get us with your legs? Like, if I'm literally offensive coordinator now, like, if you can't move, I don't want that job, because they can't always be right and get you in great situations where they call the right play. Sometimes you just got to win for us with your legs. So I understand, and I feel more comfortable with the term, but it's something I'm thinking about getting away from altogether. Like,
if you can't run, like, we just don't want you anyway.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we're seeing it right now with Kyle Trask, right? I mean, he's a Heisman candidate, but where is he going to get drafted in the NFL? It's so funny. He would have thought 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he'd be the top guy.
Well, I think one of the things you can also look at is Carson Wentz right now. When Wentz had, when it was Peters and Lane Johnson, and that was one of the best offensive lines in football, Carson Wentz was a much better quarterback. When the offensive line has struggled, you see a guy like Carson Wentz who just, it's had a big impact on his game. I really do feel like his game, partially, it's some of it's he's lost his confidence, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Quincy, but some of it is when the offensive line doesn't protect you, if you can't work out of that, then you've got problems in the NFL now. You have, whether it's getting the ball out quickly, playing the mental chess game, or whether it's being able to get away from the pressure, it's hard to survive in the NFL without those abilities.
It's nearly impossible. These guys are just too big, too fast. And then when you get caught in situations like that, you find yourself looking at things other than what you're supposed to. And you see Carson Wentz right now, he's struggling because he has such bad eye discipline. He'll find himself looking at the defensive line. He'll find himself looking at the wrong spot in terms of concepts, and he can't get to a good spot where he can throw on time with anticipation. He didn't lose his ability to throw the football. He lost his ability to feel comfortable in the pocket. And I think if he did more in terms of the run game and extending plays and getting out of there, I think he would feel a little bit more comfortable back there.
So I'm going to go Lawrence and then probably Justin Fields, but Zach Wilson is moving up the charts. Tell us about Trey Lance and where he could go and what you think of him so far.
Trey Lance is going to be a top three quarterback. I think that I've had an opportunity to be around all the guys we mentioned in terms of that top tier quarterback range. And Trey Lance has the skills to lead a team as well as anybody else in this draft class. Like, he's just talented enough to make all the throws, big guy, and he also has the ability to carry a team with his legs. Like, if he had to run the ball as a quarterback, he can do that as well as anybody else. Like, in his in the national championship game, he might have 20-plus carries and literally put a team on his back. And then he also has the ability to make every single throw you could ask for on the football field. He reminds me so much of Deshaun in the way that he throws. His ability to throw with a ton of touch, and also his ability to anticipate things. The one thing that he didn't have that all the other top-end guys had was he didn't have receivers who were running wide open. He didn't have receivers who were creating a ton of separation and then were making catches outside of the frame. Like, he had to do this essentially on his own at the quarterback position. Like, he had a great line, but everywhere else in terms of the skill stuff, he did not have the same benefits as the other guys, and he was very, very, very successful.
How much did the lack of games set him back this year?
It didn't set him back in terms of his development as much. I think it set him back in terms of the way people look at it, because you want guys that have 800 snaps at the college level. Like, you just want guys that have taken enough snaps, seen enough things, but the way that he studies, the way that he prepares, and the way that NDSU helped him get ready for the National Football League, like, they do as good a job as anybody making quarterbacks handle a ton of things. He did that, and I think that he'll be ready to really do well when the NFL season starts. He'll come, and he'll be as ready as any other rookie anywhere in the country.
I told John and the listeners about this. I talked to his offense coordinator about him, and he told me the same thing. He just said, look, Trey gets himself protected. He calls his own protections. He doesn't look to the sideline. We don't have our quarterbacks do that. They get themselves protected. He told me what his Monday through Friday film study was, which is, I've never heard of that much preparation for a quarterback. And then he just said when he goes to the combine and talks to these teams, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, all these guys who have great talent, he goes, this kid is going to be the most impressive because he knows football already. He played football for one full year, and he is incredibly advanced, because that's what North Dakota State require. Full field readers, like, they ask a lot of their quarterbacks, and that's going to be a big advantage too. Hey, before we let you go, Quincy, I got a lot of feedback on the podcast. You can listen to Quincy's journey, because I think what Quincy did to hustle his way to what he's doing now is a great story for anybody who has hopes and dreams and aspirations, and that includes, you know, all of us either coming up or at some points of our life have, you know, you either do it or you don't. You can talk about it or be about it, and Quincy's got a great story. But can you just go through a quarterback? Eric Layden asked you this question. What does a quarterback do when he steps to the line of scrimmage? Can you go pre-snap what Deshaun Watson has to go through pre-snap before a ball's even snapped for the Texans?
Yeah, so the first thing he's going to do is he's going to get the play call, right? We're going to walk in the huddle. We announce the play to the guys. We're going to do that twice. As we walk to the line of scrimmage, first thing we got to make sure is that is all of our team in the right situation. Then we got to identify the safeties, right? So what are they doing defensively? Where's their safety rotation? Then we got to take it into the box. Cool. Where is the front, right? Are they over, under front? Where could I get pressure? Oh, they're in an under front, and they got a Colt look. Oh, we're probably getting strong side pressure. But if we're good there, cool. Now we got to get to our protection. How am I going to protect myself? Where am I turning the line to? Is it going to be a weak protection? Is it going to be a strong protection? Are we going two down and we're sliding to the right? So cool. Now let's say we're just running drive, right? We're going to be in a 2x2 formation. We're going to run drive. So what I want to do is I want to make my man side the left side, and I want to slide the protection to the right because I have a shallow cross coming to the right. My tight end is going to run an arc release basic or in route at 10 to 12 yards. My left side, my X is going to be running an outside mandatory release. My slot guy is going to be running 12 to 15 yard lazy out into my back. He's going to be check protecting. He's checking Mike to Will, and he's going to be running a crosshair at about 4 yards. So first thing I got to look for, am I hot? No, I'm not hot. Okay, cool. Then my eyes go to the left. I'm seeing the sail. What is my weak side curl flat defender doing? Is he sinking back, taking away that sail? Okay, fine. Then I take my eyes directly to the shallow cross. Okay, did the mic work with him? He did. Okay, now I got to get to the basic. Did my Sam sink and cover that? Oh, he did? Then I got to get to my check down. But we're doing all this in a matter of, from the time we walk to the line of scrimmage to the way that play is executed, you got about 15 seconds.
And that's just, and I, you know what I didn't even throw? What if there's a late add into the box? What if a safety drops into the box and all of a sudden you see what looks like a cover, you see what looks like a split safety look. All of a sudden, you start to see safety roll into a cover one or even a cover three look, and so your coverages have then changed. Now things, and
or
now
Jamal Adams, and he's coming.
Now you
got to
hit reset on it.
Yeah.
Then I had to go easy. Hey, we got to re-mic this thing because now I got strong rotation. I got to bring it one.
Time
over.
Out. This is what I do, Quincy. Time out. Time out. Yeah. Let's go to the run. Here's what I'm doing. Check 26 razor, and I'm just checking to a run. No, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah,
my wife's listening lot. Right now. She said, because she loved hearing Quincy's podcast. She goes, I don't know anything about Quincy Avery, and I love listening to that podcast. She's listening now. She goes, I love hearing this again because we did that with Quincy the first time. But it really does go to show you there is so – when you talk about a quarterback needing to process, it's true. It's hard to be a guy who's not mentally sharp and quick and can't play chess. And I know, Quincy, you're into the chess stuff as well. I'm sure you watch – you watch Queen's Gambit, which is great. But playing chess is a major, major deal. Well, that's what you're doing.
Well, and not only that, at this NFL speed
that
you're doing it at.
Exactly.
How fast those guys are. That's why. That's the whole thing, isn't it? I mean, they're doing some great stuff in college, too. But when you kick it up, you know, three times as fast at the NFL level, it's no wonder guys take some time. Which makes it even more amazing what Mahomes has done, isn't it, Quincy? How quickly he adapted to the NFL game and became as good as he is?
Yeah, he had the benefit of him being really talented and some really good coaches who gave him the ability to have some really good mental processes. And that's what I'm all about. Like, what is your process when you come to the line of scrimmage? Like, how can you get all that information and make it very, very simple for yourself that you can be successful and see and chunk a lot of information so that it becomes easy for you to go and just react? See things and play fast.
Absolutely. Quincy Avery, he is it's quarterback takeover, and man, you got what a great job you've done and how many guys you've got and the success that you've had so far.
For fans who have football teams that need quarterback, not the Texans, but who do you are you locked in on some quarterbacks this year that you can talk about who you'll be working with pre-draft?
Yeah, I'm working with Trey Lance. I'm working with Jamie Newman. I got 2 to 3 others that I'm probably going to add, but I'll wait till they – commit and get down here before I say anything about those guys. But we're going to have some good ones And I think you'll be happy if you get any of the guys that we're working with.
Is there any quarterback coach beef between you and like Jordan Palmer, Whitfield, Clarkson? There's like four or five of you guys developing. I'm wondering, because you're starting to come up and take some guys. Is there beef developing?
Man, I don't got any beef with anybody. They might have a little, nose up in the air at me, but we're good.
If it was an arm wrestling contest between all of you, who would win?
I would win any physical form of competition between me and any of the other quarterback coaches,
right,
whatever that competition is.
Right.
It's on record now.
That's it. He said it. There's no.
He said it. He meant it. And he will represent it.
We got receipts. That's it. Hey, Quincy.
Write it down.
Thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. That's great stuff. Thanks for hanging with us here.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Okay. Thanks, hey, when we come back, Lance beat it. When we come back, it's going to be Beat the Limo Guy right here on ESPN. We're going to combine some breaks here.
Beat the Limo Guy.
Beat the Limo Guy. That's right. Beat it and Beat the Limo Guy next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.